listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. And for our last 15 minutes here, we're going to be doing some worldview watch, teaching you to discern what's going on in the world. Think with your Christianity. Think with your catechism. My guest, Pastor Bob Weiss, Professor Robert Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, to talk about life issues. We just had the March for Life last weekend, and I haven't talked to you, man, in a couple of weeks. What's going on out there in the world, Dr. Weiss?
Well, I appreciate all those nice titles, you know, professor, pastor, doctor. It's like I tell people I'm about 4 degrees below zero. So, I'll tell you what. I had the opportunity on January 22nd. I was in Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and talked for about 4 hours on this whole issue of life, and I actually took them through two legal issues, Doe v. Bolton, where they define health as anything, emotional, physical, mental. It's up to the doctor, and that gives the doctor more leeway when he wants to perform an elective abortion. When the woman says, well, I don't think I can take this baby emotionally, then the doctor, it's quote-unquote, has in the best interest, is the Doe v. Bolton case, which came down at the same time as Roe v. Wade, said, well, now we can go ahead and do the elective abortion. So they took that word health and dragged it into Roe v. Wade. And so that's the definition of health according to the world. And then, of course, the whole issue of how you define a person was all done by Justice Blackmun in his review and his opinion, which is only really 35 papers, so I tried to encourage the people to read it. And in that paper, and I think we've mentioned this before, everything mentioned about the word person in the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and our Constitution, plus he quotes all kinds of other documents from slave owners and so forth, always talk about the person postnatally, after birth. So therefore, his conclusion is, since all the documents I have studied, or he says we have studied, indicate that the person is always spoken of postnatally, therefore the unborn child cannot be a person. So I shared that with about 100 people there, and they had never read it, of course, but they talk about it, and they were actually surprised how they came to that conclusion. And I said, well, that of course, then impacts aging people. Because if you're not aware of your surroundings, you're not a person. If you're not a person, you're not an issue.
Yeah, sleeping people too, I suppose.
Sleeping people, and I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it is important for people to understand the legal issues behind why elective abortion is still so prominent. Even though, yes, many clinics have closed, but it is what it is. Because I'm right now. Pastor, I'm down here in Lucas, Texas, visiting Ray Fran and Lawrence Guswell, which are my cousins of my wife, Jan. We were in Bethlehem, south of here, where I gave a similar talk, but mostly on end-of-life issues in Palestine, Texas. And as I told Andy, Palestine, Texas was formed by the same person who formed Palestine, Illinois. So we're up here visiting, and so yesterday I spent another 4 hours Saturday and preaching on Sunday on this whole business of end of life. So that's kind of what I'm doing. So I'm down here in Lucas, Texas, sitting in the living room of Ray Fran and Lawrence Guswell, looking out here at their nice mini pony Sassy. And but what I want to share with you, I want to give people, of course, the picture of where Bob Weiss is. Right now, over in The Hague, Netherlands, they have started to euthanize people who are demented.
Right. That was big. I heard that one last week.
Yeah, it's huge. But here's another one. Have you heard about now how doctors are told, in depending on the medical school and the workplace, doctors are told to call pregnant women. They're not to be called mothers anymore. You don't want to call them mothers anymore. That's not appropriate to call them mothers because gender inequality is reflected in traditional ideas of role of men and women. So instead of calling women who become pregnant pregnant mothers. We have to call them pregnant people.
Right.
Now they're pregnant people. And there's a doctor, Dr. Philip Davies, out on the East Coast. He said, this is what he said, as every doctor knows, only females can have babies and children. To say otherwise is offensive and dangerous, and this will offend women up and down the country. That is an example of the majority of women being insulted for a tiny minority of people. So we're now back to seeing how language is being softened and changed to fit the political correctness of this socially liberal country that we're living in. And so this whole thing came about where they're talking about female pregnancy, but now it's people pregnancy. You can't call a woman pregnant anymore. It's a people pregnancy. I mean,
it's just insane. I mean, you lose the ability to even have a conversation anymore. This morning we read a little bit from Dr. Luther's Heidelberg Disputation about calling a thing what it is. And he didn't have in mind this conversation we're having now. He was talking about wrestling with sin and grace, all this kind of stuff. But golly, the world is at a place where we can't even call a thing what it is. It is so offensive to us, and our attempts to justify our age of chaos and rebellion that we're just in total denial of reality. And it what terrifies me most, Dr. Weiss, is like, how long can a nation stand when it can no longer talk, right? I mean, we live here, we're supposed to pray for our nation, we're supposed to care about our nation, but geez, we deserve to be conquered. It's just insane. I'm sorry, I just lost my mind. I apologize.
No, you don't have to apologize, because I mean, this is the stuff that perhaps causes some people, when they read and hear this stuff, it's time for a Lutheran beverage.
Yeah.
And,
a little early in the morning for that, but I hear you.
It is a bit early for that kind of stuff, but the insanity and the dumbing down. We were just talking about this last night after the football game here at the Goosewills home here in Lucas, that how words. You know, words matter and life matters. I gave a talk once to a pregnancy life center down in Carbondale, Illinois, where my daughter, who delivers babies, Andrea, is in charge of their pregnancy center down there, and how all of these words are being dumbed down and changed. They basically don't mean anything. So this example of a person that is only defined because it's out of the womb, and postnatally, but even then, if you follow some people's direction, if you're not aware of your surroundings out of the womb, then you're still not even a person. So, and now the victim, you know, Christians, quote unquote, are no longer the victims in terms of persecution. It's the stuff that we're seeing on TV with all of these riots about freedom of speech. The First Amendment basically, in this politically correct society, does not exist. It's not freedom of speech. It's the lack of speech. It's the lack of saying what you want to say. And so, it just drives me up a tree. And, there's some trees around here, but I don't think I want to climb them today. But the last thing I want to share with you that I think is very positive for our listeners to hear about, we've talked about how computers can be used to help people perhaps who are in comas. Are you familiar with the brain-computer interface issue right now with people who have what's called locked-in syndrome?
No, I've not heard of that.
Yeah. So what this is, they have sort of a headset they put around people. Let's say they've had a tracheostomy, which is, they go into the trachea for breathing, or they're intubated. And they're in various stages of comas. And so they put this kind of headgear on and have these little electrodes, these patches, much like the kind that are put onto people for electrocardiograms. And they put these all over the brain after it's been shaved. And so what happens is that they start to talk to the person who basically can't speak, can't say anything. And in trials, patients with what they call, it's called locked-in syndrome. You know, they can't respond to anything. So they're generating electrical stimulation, of course, because that's what the brain is. It's a bunch of neurons that are connected. And so this locked-in syndrome has caused them to respond yes or no to spoken questions by thinking the answers.
Oh, that's so cool.
and to cause blinking in their eyes. And this is a non-invasive brain-computer interface.
Right.
Detected their responses by it changes the blood oxygen level in the brain.
Wow.
So, this is, and they're doing this, believe it or not, they're starting this off with ALS patients. I think most people know this is Lou Gehrig's disease.
Right.
And so this is, I think, a very positive use of computer technology, because some of the computer technology that people want to use is to make us more computer than human. And so in this context here, for example, researchers ask personal questions known to answers and open questions that needed just a yes or no. And, for example, they would say to this one lady, recorded, your husband's name is Joachim, and are you happy? And they found that these questions elicited a correct response in more than 70% of the time. So when people say, well, you know, they don't hear me anymore, let's pull the plug.
Hmm.
So what they're bringing out on this is that they're really not brain dead. They haven't flatlined. That there are things ongoing. And so this now becomes a treatment, not just an issue of communication. So the question is, and one of the big things that they ask these people that are in various stages of comas, they say, are you happy? This is interesting. Usually resulted in 95% consistent response. Here's the response. Yes.
Huh.
Yes, I'm happy. And they may not see you, but they respond because the brain has been stimulated. The blood now is flowing, and they say, are you happy? And they say, yes. When most people look at people in comas, and they say, well, they can't be happy.
Right.
And in 98% of the times, the response was, yes, I'm happy. So that's a technology that I think... where they're working on with people with Lou Gehrig's disease and other forms, because Lou Gehrig's disease obviously does impact the brain and eventually shuts everything down.
Definitely a thing that is hopeful when you see technology being used to heal rather than to harm. My guest, Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, again, trying to keep us abreast of the various movements and pieces in life issues, from end of life to abortion, personhood, to how you might recognize that people that are in a coma are, well, they're not dead yet. They're still there. They're still there. Thank you for being with us today, Dr. Weiss.
Yeah, Godspeed to you and your listeners. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. You listen to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Life matters. Life matters. People matter. Technology can be a wonderful tool for good and not for ill. Let us pray that our Lord continue to remind us of that and stave off this destructive end of language that is coming upon our age. Lord, have mercy on us all. Hey, listen up, universe. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He is coming back. He will fix it when He does. It may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow. There may be some cross and suffering in between now and then, but I'll tell you this. I look forward to waking up with you either way at the dawn.